Why did Jesus die? I'm not talking about, well, because his heart stopped beating, or because he ran out of blood, or because he was crucified. Why did his heart stop beating? Why was he crucified? Why did Jesus hang on that cruel cross of Calvary at Golgotha and die? Was it because of the Jews' envy? In Matthew 27:18, also Mark 15, verse 10, where the ruler there recognized Pilate, that because of envy they had delivered him up. Remember during that situation when they chose to have Barabbas, an insurrectionist, freed instead of Jesus? Or maybe it was because of Judas' greed. He wanted those pieces of silver, and so he led Jesus' accusers to him. And then with that kiss of betrayal, identified who it was they were hunting. Or maybe it was because of Pilate's cowardice. You know, as Pilate told Jesus, "Don't you know that I have the power to set you free or to have you crucified?" Maybe it was Pilate's fault. He was just a coward. He was afraid of the Jews and how they might react if he let Jesus, whom he recognized to be an innocent man, go free. Why did Jesus die? I want to suggest to us very quickly this morning three reasons why Jesus died. Number one, Jesus died because of our lawlessness. Now, the Greek word is antinomia, which literally means against law or against the law. Now, John tells us that sin is lawlessness over in his epistle, 1 John. And so you see, Jesus died because of our sin, because of our lawlessness. Going back to Romans chapter 5, begin reading in verse 6, and really going down to about verse 11, where the Apostle Paul there tells us that God demonstrates his own love toward us, verse 8, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died because we were sinners. He died for the ungodly in verse 6. These verses tell us that we were his enemies. We were God's enemies, had set us ourselves up as enemies to God. And Christ died because of our sin. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 59 and you read verses 1 and 2, Isaiah asks the question there, is the Lord's hand shortened that it cannot save, or his ear heavy that it cannot hear? No. But he says it's because of your sins, it's because of your iniquities. They have separated between you and your God. So sin has separated from God. Christ died in order to remove that barrier, to remove that sin so that we can be reunited with God, be brought again into fellowship with God, that we may be saved. Christ died because of my sin. You know where that places the blame? We can't simply blame the Jews for their ignorance and their envy for killing Christ. We can't merely condemn Judas for his greed. We can't really just blame Pilate for his politics. But when the question, why did Jesus die, arises, it's time to get out the mirror. Because it's my sins that put him on the cross. Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 5 and 6. Isaiah says there, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Us who? Well, it's us. The entire human race. Over in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul goes on to say that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are excluded from the terms none and all. It was because of our sins that Jesus went to the cross, yours and mine. I'm not trying to depress us. I'm just trying to emphasize here the great and grand love behind what God did for me and for you. As Paul said there in Romans 5:8, for God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why did Jesus die? My sin put Jesus on the cross. Jesus died because of our lawlessness. Number two, Jesus died because of our lives. He died in order to impart to us a new life. You know, we think sometimes of new lives. Sometimes we think of somebody or hear statements like, well, that just turned my life around, or he turned my life around, or this particular incident just turned my life around. Now I'm a new person. You ever hear that? Somebody goes in and has an operation. Maybe they have heart surgery or something else that really helps them out. And they come out of the hospital and say, well, I'm a new person. Sometimes we even go out during the spring or whatever time of the year and we buy a couple of new outfits and maybe we get into shape and lose a little bit of weight. We just feel like a new person. But that's always a good feeling, isn't it? Whenever we say things like that, I'm just a new person. That's a good thing, right? Indicating that we put off the old and we have become new. And don't you like what's new? Well, that is exactly what Christ did when he died. He died in order to make us new people, didn't he? In the book of Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4 particularly, Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now Paul, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul over in the book of Colossians chapter 3, has this long detailed discussion in each of those passages about how we are to put off the old man with his deeds and to put on the new man. In other words, Christ has made you a new person. Act like the new person. So much we learn in these verses here. Remember Peter in 1 Peter 3:21 talked about the light figure which doth also now save us, baptism. What's the figure? It's like a picture. Our baptism is like a picture of what Christ did for us when he died. See, Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ was resurrected to a new life, never to die again. We are dead in our sins, Ephesians 2:1. We are buried in the watery grave of baptism, symbolizing Christ's death and burial, and we're raised up as Christ was resurrected, never to die again. Yes, we'll go on to die physically, but we'll live forever eternally, spiritually. And so you see how baptism figures that. It shows what Christ did for us. It's that form. Later on in this chapter, Paul talks about, verse 17, but thanks to God that you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. The form is what Paul gives here in verses 1 to 4 of Romans 6. Death, burial, resurrection. And he died because of our lives. He died in order to give us a brand new life. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Paul says, newness of life, Romans 6, 1 to 4. Paul says, a new creation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And then we go over to the book of Colossians, and we begin to see how the Apostle Paul talks a little bit about this old man versus this new man. And he says in verse 9 and 10, let's go up and let's begin in verse 8. He said, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. For in Christ Jesus, Paul says, we are a new creation. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. You know, in view of the coming day when the world will be destroyed, we'll all stand before God on judgment. In view of that, Peter said in 2 Peter 3, 11 and 12, consider what manner of life you ought to live. Well, Paul says here, the manner of life that you ought to live is to put off the old man and put on the new. Christ died in order to give you a new life. Enjoy that new life. Live like the new man. There's so many Christians at times, I'm afraid, who'll go out into the world, they'll try to make some corrections, and they'll make corrections here, and they'll make corrections there. But then there are those little sins. You know, the little ones, we call them little. Those little ones, they're just as deadly as the big ones. But somehow, because they're little ones, it don't really affect others that much. It don't really affect me that much. It's just a little sin. Sometimes we get caught up repeating those over and over again, committing it, asking God to forgive us, committing it, asking God to forgive us, committing it, asking God for months and months and sometimes even years. Listen, the Hebrew writer said, lay aside that sin that so easily ensnares you. We are striving on to maturity, to perfection in Christ. We can't just keep on and on committing the same sin over and over again. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. Put it out of your life. Quit living like the old man and enjoy the new life that Christ died in order to give you. We're different people. We should say, I feel like a new man. That's because you are a new man. Live like that. I think of when that woman that was caught in sin was brought to Jesus, and they're testing him with the situation as they always do. And finally, they all went away because he pointed out their hypocrisy and were ashamed to keep standing in his presence. And then there's Jesus and the woman, and Jesus says, go and sin no more. I like that phrase. Go and sin no more. That's what we do when we become Christians. We go out and we sin no more. In other words, we live our lives trying to never sin again. And every time we do sin, even if it's one of those, as we call it, little sins, it is devastating to us. So much so that we beg God to forgive us, we pick up and we go on and try to sin no more. We strive for spiritual maturity and perfection. I remember Mark 5, verse 19 there when Jesus had healed that man, that demon-possessed man. The man was just so excited, didn't know what to do with himself. And Jesus told him, Mark chapter 5, verse 19, he said, go to your friends, your relatives, and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Christ has given me a new life. You know, when we lose that weight and we slim up and we feel better and we've got the new clothes, we talk about what great things this diet has done for me. We tell people what great things going to the gym has done for me. And we're excited about all that, right? How disappointing when a couple of months later we stopped going to the gym and we quit eating the right food and all of a sudden we're back into our old fat clothes or whatever we want to call them. That's what I call mine. Disappointing, isn't it? But when we put on the new selves spiritually and Christ gives us this new life, we go on and we sin no more. We go on and we're excited and we tell people what great things the Lord has done for us. And they see it in our lives and they see it in their face. But we don't lose it after a couple of months because then we lose the testimony that we had to them and the influence that we can have upon them. But we hold on to that excitement. And Paul says, don't revert back to all those things the old man did. Christ died so that through his death we could start over and have a new life. Now, why did Christ die? Jesus died because of our lawlessness. Our sins nailed him to the cross. Jesus died because of our lives, in order to give us new lives and all the excitement and wonders and hope and joy that goes along with it. And finally, Christ died because of our longing. I love reading biographies. Occasionally I might even read an autobiography, but I like biographies in particular when I read. And oftentimes, when I'm reading a biography of an individual, somebody who was famous, rich, whatever, it's always in my mind that, you know, this individual is not a Christian. And the thing about a biography is that in a short time, you follow this person from young to middle age to old and to death. And you see very quickly all that they had, a lot of the exciting things that they did, how much they enjoyed life. How different they were as they got older. The mood changes and the lack of luster and love for life and as their looks faded and all these kind of things. And then they never had any kind of faith and they never had any kind of belief. And you think to yourself, what kind of longing did these people have? How horrible and miserable to look back 20, 25 years earlier than when they were young and handsome and good-looking and outgoing and had everything going for them, and now they're old and miserable and nothing to look forward to. Isn't that depressing? Well, Christ died to fulfill our longing, didn't he? We don't have to have that. Because we have a longing to go to heaven. In Hebrews 11, in verses 13 to 16, the Hebrew writer talked about the great desire of those people. These all died in faith, he said there. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They longed for heaven. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. And God has prepared that heavenly city for them. You see, before Christ, before the cross, before our obedience, before our becoming new men through baptism in Christ, Romans 6, 1-4. Before all that, we were without hope and without God. We had absolutely nothing to look forward to. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 12, the Apostle Paul says there, but at that time you were without Christ. What's it like to be without Christ? Well, he says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Our eternal destination was one of despair and agony. Our eternal destination was without God and without hope. But now, because Christ died, Now we have been brought near, verse 13 of Ephesians 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far off have been brought near. How? Well, Paul says here, by the blood of Christ. Why did Jesus die? Because of our longing. You remember when Jesus was about to go to the cross? And it was drawing closer and closer, and his apostles were pretty much running themselves into a complete feeling of depression and fear and all other types of negative emotions at the thought of Jesus not being with them anymore. They hated so much the thought of the idea of Christ being crucified and hanging on the cross that on one occasion when Jesus was telling them what was going to happen, Peter said, "Not so, Lord." And Jesus had to rebuke Peter and say, "Get behind me, Satan. Don't tempt me to not do what I must do." And as Jesus is trying to comfort them, he says there in these beautiful words in John 14, beginning of verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Such beautiful and comforting words. And they're so beautiful and they're so comforting because they speak to our longing, right? Our longing to be in eternal glory when this life ends. All along, God has wanted us with Him. Remember 2 Peter 3:9? "And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He wants us with Him in heaven. He wants that to be our longing. And Christ died because of our longing, so that you and I could have a hope for a home in heaven. Men down through the years have died for many different reasons. Some give their life for their spouse. Some give their life for their children. Others lay down their life for a complete stranger. Take a bullet for somebody. Many have given their life for a cause. But why did Jesus die? Not just for a cause, but for the cause. Sometimes I tell Christians, you need a cause? You need a group to join? You've got one. You're bored. You need to join a club. Why? Why are you bored? There's plenty to do. You want a cause? You want a club to get excited about? Get excited about the church of Jesus Christ, which Paul tells us, or Luke tells us in Acts 20, recording the words of Paul, Jesus shed his blood for. He shed his blood for the church. Why did Jesus die? Jesus died because of our lawlessness, our sins. We can't blame anyone else. Jesus died because of our lives, in order to give us that new life that's so filled with joy and hope. And Jesus died because of our longing, so that we can not only enjoy our life here with the peace and hope that goes along with that, but that we can look forward to a life much better, much more glorious, in the eternal glories of heaven. Let's pray.